Dan Lanning hits the podium today around 12:15. We'll have that for you live. We'll cut into that for you. But joining us now, Tyson Alger of the I-5 Corridor. Tyson, we're very happy to have you. You are the first guest on the firm of Harris and Marang, and also our first guest on FM radio. Congratulations. You are the greatest.
I wasn't prepared for this, guys. I would have maybe come with a speech or like a gift for you all, but I feel very honored that this voice gets to be on those crystal clear FM airwaves. I'm touched.
You sound fantastic in my headphones right now, so that's great. What are you working on these days? How's I-5 Corridor going?
It's going good, man. Like I made the mistake of being a sports writer is a great gig because you cover like college football from September, August through January, and then it's kind of off season, right? Mm. Like you kind of get, you know, you got to do a little bit of recruiting, a little bit of spring football, but other than that, it's pretty leisurely. But I was really smart and I decided to start covering MLS soccer in the off season. Mm. Turns out those seasons run completely opposite of each other. So
now you're full time.
yes. I have somehow dropped myself into a full-time role, and I am hating it.
Nothing quite like a 94th-minute goal on a deadline, right?
I sent my editor at the time a couple of choice words. it's like ultimately it makes the story better, right? But like the graveyard of soccer stories that I've written where like an 89th goal ruins the whole thing is growing at this point.
The Wednesday night at 9:30. You got to change everything.
It's just for the love of the grind, boys.
There you go. That's why we all do it. Let's get into Ducks preview as Lanning's going to take the stage today. I'll start right there real quickly. Anything you expect from Lanning today outside of the normal, hi, we're here to compete for national championships, blah, blah, blah?
No, I think you're going to get a lot of kind of cliches. I think you're going to get a lot of just kind of Dan Lanning answers. I just finished up with him for 15 minutes here one-on-one, and you know, I've been covering Dan for, this will be the fourth season now. That's as long as I've covered any coach. And he's still at this time, he's still a guy who actually keeps his cards close to the vest, guys. Like he's kind of a tough cookie to crack when it comes. It's like, do I talk to him a lot about football and have him avoid all the answers? Or do I bring a bunch of silly questions and have him think I'm not serious? There's really a needle and thread that you have to thread there. But I think you're probably going to hear him talk a fair amount about NIL. You're going to hear him talk a fair amount about the house settlement stuff. And there's probably just going to be a lot of, like, can you guys climb the hill again? I'm sure we're going to hear some thoughts on the Rose Bowl from last year and how this is a different season and a different team, but we're trying to continue. And, you know, it's media days. I don't think Dan's planning on coming out here and really making headlines quite like they did last year when they brought the Duck. I've been in Vegas for 24 hours. I haven't seen anything inflatable yet. So
no
big surprises yet.
No Signetti quotes from Lanning today?
No, I don't think so. I think Dan Lanning views a media day as a success if he can come in here and leave without anything that he said ending up in a headline.
Well, speaking of the Ducks and kind of the expectations, what is the expectation not only for the Ducks, but just kind of looking at this Big Ten? I don't want to call it a down year, but there's so much transition in the conference. Where did the Ducks kind of fall in all of this? They're clearly loaded on defense, but all of the questions seem to point at the offensive side of the ball. Like, where do you start beyond just, hey, they got to break in a new quarterback?
Yeah, it's such kind of like a weird season to pre-describe for the Ducks, because like ultimately, like if you go through like the history of like Oregon seasons, like this, the amount of talent they have on this roster probably ranks among like their top three or four teams in program history, if not higher. But it's, you're coming off of three Heisman seasons at quarterback. Like you're graduating a lot of guys off the offensive line. We've seen Oregon be a team that can really like retool through the transfer portal, but like, can you do it yet again? And so like this is the first season where we've really had some kind of questions about the offense going in. And that can get even further if you want to go into like their depth at wide receiver with Evan Stewart. Like I know that's going to come up here, but at the same time, like this isn't the Big Ten last year where there's a clear favorite in Ohio State or maybe as good as Oregon was last year. You know, like I voted for Penn State as number one in the poll this week just because they have the most experienced quarterback coming back. But you know, like there's always surprises. Like we saw how much of an impact Jeremiah Smith made last year for the Buckeyes. Could DeCorian Moore be that guy for Oregon this year? We still don't know what Dante Moore's ceiling is. So it's one of those seasons where like I expect them to be in like the 10 wins win, or sorry, in the 10 win window. But like if things kind of hit in the right spots around some of these guys, like they're going to be in the playoff as long as things go well. And it's just a matter of like, when do they peak?
You brought up Dante Moore, and I think the general consensus is he's going to be the starter, but it does sound like there's a chance for Novosad to take that job. What does that kind of look like as we get into fall ball and camp really starts ramping up and we're starting to get ready for the season?
Yeah, you know, and that's something that I guarantee you Dan's going to say today in his press conferences. I'm sure he's going to bring up Austin a bunch, and I'm sure he's going to say the battle is going to continue going into fall camp. And I think ultimately it's going to be won by whoever like offers them the most without turning the ball over. Like that's been the bread and butter of Oregon's offense the last couple of years is like, yes, you've had some very, very talented quarterbacks, but if you go back and look at the amount of turnovers they produced, like the Ducks didn't turn the ball over. They're an offense that relies on a system where the quarterback needs to complete passes like 75% of the time. You take the easy money spots and then, you know, you go for game breakers when they present themselves. And Oregon still got a lot of very good skill guys, even though they're a little less proven. It's just going to be, you know, I think Dante has the higher ceiling. I think the team believes he has the higher ceiling. I think he's going to be the guy. But if Austin Novosad is the type of guy who just is better at getting the ball to the playmakers and not creating havoc for their own team, like I think he's got the potential to play this year if Dante struggles.
Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor here joining us. And I kind of proposed this question to Danny, and I'm curious from your perspective as a writer and somebody who follows this team closely, it's kind of like a half full, half empty outlook. Is the bigger storyline to you the questions on offense or the potentially seventh ranked top five defense in the country? Like, where do you lean more confidently in what the story this year will be?
Oh man, that is a good question, because like if the Ducks don't go 12-0 this year, I think people will probably point more towards the offense than the defense, because like as you said, like Oregon's defense is going to be so good this year. I just finished talking up with Bryce Betcher. I finished talking up with Mateo Uiagalelei. Like both those guys are looking big. Like they're looking strong. Like they're ready for the season. And you know, if you go look at that secondary too, they added some awfully good figures or some awfully good players in there. So I think because this is Oregon and we're still trained to follow Oregon as like this crazy offensive team, even though, you know, it's 13 years later at this point from when that was really true, I think we're going to focus on the offense, because it's just a natural storyline of like, hey, Oregon's had two of the most experienced quarterbacks in college football history the last 3 years playing quarterback for them. Now they have something different. Lanning finally got his guys in. There's a lot of guys that he recruited that have come in. Like, how does this look? How does this work? And what type of ceiling do they have?
Yeah, Danny kind of brought this up as well. The thought of, look, Lanning comes as a defensive guy, and now he's got potentially the best defense he's ever had at Oregon. Is this going to be the true identity of Oregon? Is this kind of the true identity of college football now, that you build a defense and your offense is always going to be semi-interchangeable due to the transfer portal?
Yeah, I think the offense is probably a little bit more interchangeable. I mean, just like more so because the offense has like one player, i.e. the quarterback, where you can completely like change your fortunes of the season depending on if you get a good one through the portal or not. I think defense has to have a little bit more of a foundation. I think it has a lot more to do with recruiting. I mean, if you take a look at Oregon's defensive line, like see how much those guys sub in and out during the game. They use a lot of those players. And so, I think it's probably easier to build up and kind of sustain that defense, but you know, we're going to see a fair amount of Dan Lanning recruited players on the offensive side too, even at like, especially at wide receiver. Like, I think that'll be fascinating. I think it'll be fascinating to see the step Kenyon Sadiq takes at tight end this year. You know, obviously he turned some heads with that hurdle last season, but like, you know, I asked him like, how did that change your life? And he's like, you should have seen my phone afterwards. Like, all of a sudden everybody knows who I am. And that kind of brings like a whole different level of expectations to it. So it's weird. Like this probably isn't going to be as exciting of a season as it was last year from just like a sheer storyline perspective. I mean, they were number one for half the year last year, but from a writing perspective, this is like one of the first years in a while that I've gone into an Oregon season, and I don't really know what to expect. Like, I don't know who the storylines are going to be, and that really excites me.
In that same vein, a lot of times, you know, when you have somebody on, you go, what's the best possible outcome? I want to go the other way. What's the worst possible outcome from this team, and what would lead to that situation happening?
Ooh, worst possible outcome would probably be if Dante comes out and he's erratic throwing the ball and they turn the ball over a few times. If there's not a clear leader that emerges at wide receiver. I mean, the Ducks have had some pretty good ones and some pretty reliable ones the last 4 or 5 years between Tez Johnson or Troy Franklin. You know, if the defense happens to struggle on days where the offense isn't perfect either, like, again, like I don't know what the floor is for here. I think there's a base level of talent where you're still going to win a lot of games this season with that schedule, but there are less opportunities for this team to prove themselves this year than there were last year. You have Penn State this year, but other than that, that's really the only marquee game. My worry would be just keeping the overall focus and kind of goals of the team if you're not great from the start, because we really haven't seen the Ducks or Dan Lanning go through like a ton of midseason adversity before. It's always just kind of been that Washington loss at the end, you know? And so it'll be interesting to see if they're not front running, like how they carry themselves through that.
This is Tyson Alger. Thank you for joining us, bud. Don't have too much fun in Vegas.
Never do, boys. Never. I'm a journalist. I don't have enough money to have fun in Vegas. So.
Buddy, Fremont Street exists. I will tell you, I was there just a week ago. You can have a good time very, very inexpensively.
just make sure you have me on next week as a wellness chat.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us. Beer's on me next time at Lombard House. All right.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Take care, boys.
Yep. Travel safe. That is Tyson Alger of the I-5 Corridor. Make sure to go give him a read. He's just fantastic. We hope to have him on as often as we can this year during the football season. Great guy, local stuff, good content, and just a great dude to chat with.